What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You're listening to a Weeby Geeks Network podcast.
Another world, another time, in the age of wonder.
There was once a dream, you could only whisper it. Anything more than a whisper, and it would vanish.
A battle between good and evil.
You don't know the power of the dark side.
Where shall I find a new adversary so close to my own level?
Try the local sewer.
You know of the rebellion against the Empire?
The Avengers,
Earth's Mightiest Heroes.
Peace means having a bigger stick than the other guy.
One of these days, I'm gonna have a stick of my own.
I'm Groot.
Welcome to the Neverland Podcast, the podcast for lovers of Disney, Pixar, Marvel, and Star Wars.
I'm glad you're here to tell us these things.
Please welcome your host, Jeremy.
I thought he'd be taller.
Yeah, I can fly.
Takes his faith, trust.
Well, if it isn't the Star Spangled Man with a plan, what is your plan today?
Up to Neverland!
Take your pixie out of your pockets, Neverlanders. Sprinkle some pixie dust around, grab your happiest thought, and we're going to fly away to Neverland once again with me, your Spider-Pan, Jeremy. And guess who's with me again?
It's the Wendy Nerd.
Yay! Pixie Wendy Nerd, also known as Pixie Heather, is back again. We're going to have a revolving door on co-hosts, though, today. You're going to be here, and then later on, Lost Boy Philip, you remember him?
Yep.
He's going to come back, and we're going to discuss the new Wonder Woman movie and also Wonder Woman's history in the comics. But before then, we've got lots of kind of interesting Marvel news this week, a little bit of stuff from the parks, and also, I got to do a special event here in Kansas City for the upcoming Cars 3 film, and I'm going to share with you some fun audio with that. So, with that being said, let's get right in here with some fun news.
Spanning the Disney and geek universe to bring you the best in comics, toys, movies, and entertainment. This is news from around Neverland.
Alrighty, so we have just a little bit of stuff from the parks, and the main thing really is that all the stuff that we've been talking about that was happening in the parks, or that was coming to the parks, has happened. It's going.
It's here.
Here it is. Stuff like the Guardians of the Galaxy Mission Breakout has opened, and people have been checking out. Hopefully, very soon, Eric will have a chance to go and ride it and get us some audio, so we'll be able to listen to it here. But by now, you may have already watched a video on YouTube all about this thing. So, it's not really a, you know, surprise by the time we get to it, but it's open. Maybe people have been not paying attention to that sort of thing, but who knows. Also, the Happily Ever After fireworks have launched. I've already talked about it before. Pandora has opened, or the land of exploring Pandora, the world of Avatar, has opened, and pretty good long lines. Actually, people have been interested in it, which I'm glad people are interested enough to check it out. because it seems like a lot of people were like, I didn't, you know, care about the movie or whatever. I don't care about this. But, you know, if Disney makes it, it's going to be good. Yeah, we never saw the movie and really don't care.
I saw the movie.
Oh, you did see it? You watched
it? Yeah, I did watch the movie.
Would you be excited to go to a land themed with it?
It would be interesting to see the land, like the scenery, whether or not you care about the story of the move from the movie. The land is kind of amazing. So it's kind of like this, you know, very strange, unique land to explore. That would be worth going through.
And that's what they're banking on, yeah, as people wanting to see it. Even though it seems a little weird to put it in an Animal Kingdom, but this has been a replacement for what was going to have been Beastly Kingdom, where they're going to have fantasy and fairy tale creatures. So it kind of fits that mold.
This is kind of sci-fi.
This is, yeah, sci-fi. Fantasy, kind of. And it's apparently very environmental, so it fits the theme of the Animal Kingdom. But, well, over at Disney Hollywood Studios, it has begun. The Music of Pixar Live, Symphony of Characters, has begun showing. So you can now go over there in the old Beauty and the Beast live stage and hear them play Pixar music live.
That would be fun.
Yeah, it's only going on for the summer. It's about 40 minutes long. I'm hoping it kind of continues past the summer because, well, we're not going to be able to get out there this summer.
We'll never be able to get out there.
Well, we're going to get out there. It's going to be a while, but we're going to get there because I'm going to get you in there. But I would definitely love to check that out. There's some additions to the Star Wars launch bay, some stuff from Rogue One. There's a photo even on the Disney Parks blog that shows Phasma's helmet, so you can take a look at that. So there's some new stuff going in there to check out this summer. Also, of course, the Summer of Heroes over in Disneyland. Well, actually, I guess it's more of Disney's California Adventure, but there's Marvel heroes abound all over the place. I've seen some video this week of Black Widow's meet and greet, where she comes out on an Avengers van and comes out and does a little meet and greet. I've seen some video now of what we heard about with Star-Lord coming out and having a little dance-off. Mm-hmm.
You showed me that. It was funny.
Yeah, there's some story they decided to put on it to make it fun. And, of course, Groot comes out to do a little meet and greet. But something I didn't know was coming, the Disney Movie Magic Projection Show over at Disney's Hollywood Studios in Orlando, right, of course, the Chinese Theater, where they've been doing a Star Wars show and things like that. We're going to have, you know, clips from like Mary Poppins and Pirates of the Caribbean, anywhere within that range of just classic Disney films. So that's pretty cool. I haven't gotten to see any video of this. I hadn't heard anything about it until lately. But I'm sure it's definitely going to be worth checking out because it's a projection show, so it's going to be fun, I'm sure. So, but that's what's going on, at least in the parks. But most of the stuff I have to talk about is really a lot of stuff going on outside the parks, mainly involving Marvel. Like, okay, have you ever even heard of the D23 Expo?
I feel like I've heard of it.
Okay. Well, okay, so D23 is like a big convention because D23 is the official fan club for Disney. There are paid memberships and free memberships, but you have to be a member to be able to buy your tickets to the D23 Expo, which happens every couple of years out in California, where I'm nowhere near, and I can't afford to fly out there and can't afford to go. So I'm not going to go this year, but this will be the year to unfortunately miss out because they're going to have some Marvel costumes, props, and even some games over there.
You mean the year not to miss out?
Well, I'm going to miss out,
okay,
yes. I'm going to miss. I'm not going to be there.
No. Yeah.
Tim Nidell of Saturday Morning Rewind is going to be out there. I might have to have him report back and tell me what's all going on. But they're going to even have some stuff from some games. Mm-hmm. Now, you like Lego games, so you haven't played one in a long time.
I haven't played I haven't had time for a lot of games.
Yeah. But Lego Marvel Super Heroes 2, which Eric and I were talking about, I guess just... Was that just... No, it wasn't last week. I guess it was a couple weeks ago. But they're going to let you try it out at D23... as well as also Marvel vs. Capcom Infinite, which for those of my vintage, you might remember the Marvel vs. Capcom arcade games. Did you ever? You know, you never spent any time in arcade at all. You probably have no idea about this.
Not like a full-on arcade. Like, does the little arcade at the roller skating rink count?
Well, I mean, that's... You got probably a lot of stuff there, did you ever see where they had... Because they had the Marvel Super Heroes game, which was a fighting game, back when fighting games were the big thing. And then they did Marvel vs. Street Fighter. And then they decided, you know what, Marvel versus Capcom. And so they could pull any Capcom character, you know, even pull people from Resident Evil and Mega Man and all kind of characters were fighting with Spider-Man, Wolverine, Captain America, and all of them. It was pretty cool.
I'm not sure. I know I've seen, like, a fighting game that was, like, Street Fighter or, like, Mortal Kombat kind of style, but I don't remember.
But, yeah, so... now on consoles, we're going to get Marvel vs. Capcom Infinite, which is, of course, is bringing back that same formula of all those classic characters, only more of a 3D. There's been, a Street Fighter V, which I've never played, but apparently it's sold very well on consoles, so they're going to keep going with that and bringing back the Marvel heroes to fight with Ryu and all the Street Fighter people, and I'm sure Mega Man, and who knows, Jill Valentine, from Resident Evil, all coming along. They're also, at D23, you're going to get to try that out, Marvel Future Fight. Which I believe that is a mobile game, as well as Marvel Puzzle Quest. You're going to get to try some new things on that on the mobile phone at D23 this year. As well as, like I said, a lot of props from a lot of movies. I think you're going to even get to see some stuff from Black Panther. At least they seem to be indicating that, and some websites I'm looking at. But, okay, so are you familiar with the New Mutants? And this is where she looks at me like, the who?
No, is this like some type of X-Men, throw off?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
So, now, last time I talked about this, I thought it was going to be a television series.
Uh-huh.
But this is a movie.
Okay.
Now, previously we talked, you weren't here, but they cast a couple of people. The actress that was in Doctor Who last season, she was like a young teenage Viking that,
that
the Doctor saves her, but then she became immortal.
Yeah.
She is playing Wolfsbane. I cannot think of the actress's name right now. And then there's another actress from some other stuff I've never seen that she's playing in it as well. But there's a new casting. They found somebody to play Moonstar, one of the New Mutants. You would not have ever seen this person. The character's name is Danielle Moonstar, a.k.a. Psyche and later Mirage, but I guess she's been into something called The Originals, but her name is Blue Hunt. I have never seen her in anything. I've never watched The Originals. But The New Mutants is basically... It was getting a new younger team of mutants together after the X-Men had kind of been around for a while. Marvel decided, well, we need a new young, hip, teenage group of mutants to go around because you had the Teen Titans doing well over at DC, and so they had a bunch of teenage characters. One of them was actually like Peter Rasputin, Colossus, his little sister Ileana, known as Magique, or Magic. She's got the extra K, so it's probably Magique. But she was one of them. So this is a movie now coming up with these younger mutants. And with Fox, it's got that Legion, which you didn't watch. It was pretty good. It's a little rough. I can't really talk about it so much on the show because it was very adult. We've got an upcoming television series called The Gifted, which I think is going to be over the summer. But it actually is mutants, and they're actually going to mention the X-Men and stuff. And that television series is coming very, very soon. I don't know exactly when. I probably need to research that. But I've seen a teaser for it. It looks pretty good. You might be able to watch that one, because Legion, you wouldn't like it, I don't think, because...
Probably not.
If it's
rough to watch, I...
Yeah, and it was rough, and, but it was actually a pretty good story. It was weird. I think you saw what we were watching stuff of it, and I was like, I can't really explain this to you, but this is Legion. It's been pretty good. But here we go. Yeah, Anya Taylor-Joy, she's playing... she's been in Split and The Witch, but she's the one playing Magique. And then Maisie Williams, she's the one that was in Game of Thrones and Doctor Who, who's playing Wolfsbane.
Yeah.
Someone named Charlie Heaton, who was in Stranger Things, and is playing Cannonball. Okay, that's something I hadn't heard of yet. Charlie Heaton, I'd want to see who he was in Stranger Things. I bet he was one of the kids.
Probably, yeah.
He's probably one of the teenagers, because Cannonball, you need a teenager. Maybe he was the main one. I'll have to look him up later. And then also Henry Zaga from 13 Reasons Why, which I have not. I don't want to watch. It sounds depressing. Yes, I know it's supposed to be really good. Have you heard of this?
I've heard of 13 Reasons Why, and I've heard lots of negative things about it, encouraging suicide.
It's not encouraging suicide at all. It's trying to be preventative of suicide. They're showing there's 13 reasons why this girl, because at the beginning of the series, this girl has killed herself, and they find, tapes or journals, and they find all the reasons for it, and it's then to look at what could I have done different to maybe this wouldn't have happened. Mm-hmm. So it's only people who want to look at it badly to encourage suicide, because it's fresh media stuff to talk about. They're creating false stories, but that's not actually what the series is about. I wouldn't want to watch it because I've heard people say it's really can be depressing and it's very sad, and I don't like to watch depressing and sad.
I'm going to skip it. I'm going to skip it.
I hear it's very, very excellent, but it'll break your heart all over the place. Mm-hmm. But anyways, Henry Zaga from that series is playing Sunspot. Wow, there's a lot of characters have been cast. Warlock, who's going to be a CGA recreation, is going to be. Well, he's going to appear as a CGI. I don't have any casting on him. Rosario Dawson, who you've seen in Daredevil, is still looking to play a mentor figure. The boy will not be appearing as Charles Xavier.
Sadness.
Now, I don't know who in the world would be a mentor to them that Rosario Dawson would be playing. I don't know of any characters, but I never read New Mutants.
Unless you took one of the original X-Men and made them a mentor or something like that.
Well, I mean, in later incarnations, they did like a comic called Generation X, and they had Emma Frost, the White Queen, actually headmistress of a school teaching a new generation.
Maybe that's what I was thinking
of. But it didn't kick off very well. Mm-hmm. But in the Fox X-Men movie franchise, they've already had a White Queen in there, and I can't remember. Well, of course, they've had her multiple times. You saw her in Wolverine Origins, and already in her diamond form, and then they brought her back in First Class. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you're recycling the character and using it at different times, and yeah, a lot of their stuff has not been good, so. But yeah, that's kind of what's going on with that. It is in the way, and right now we're looking at an April 13th of 2018 release date for that film. Other things coming around from the world of Marvel is, there's a couple of new animated series. One of them we mentioned before. Look, a new Spider-Man series.
Yay.
Well, I'm kind of that way as well. Disney has had a habit of, because, all right, they had their first Marvel series was Earth's Mightiest Heroes, The Avengers. Mm-hmm. Great series, and it was based completely off source material. Mm-hmm. I loved it. But because of the fandom out there is mainly attached to the film versions of these characters, basically we end up getting a rebooted Avengers series where everybody was more reflective of how they are presented in the movies.
Since that's what people are going to freshly remember.
Right. We also got a very, definitely not aimed at anyone my age, but I guess I'm for cartoon, but Ultimate Spider-Man, I tried to watch it, I really did. I couldn't get into it, it didn't click for me. I think they were definitely aiming at a younger audience, and I know, you know, kids that really liked it, so I'm like, that's all fine and good. But because of a new Spider-Man film, and it's an MCU type of thing, we're getting this new Spider-Man series, which at first I thought, oh, maybe they can kind of get things right. But basically what this is Disney trying to make a Spider-Man who looks like the new Spider-Man's going to be in his sweats.
Mm-hmm.
Which is kind of what we're seeing in Homecoming. The costume he's had on his own before Tony Stark gives him a costume. And so that's basically what they're doing. They're trying to make an MCU-friendly animated version of Spider-Man. And I don't know if I'm really that excited. I'm probably going to watch at least...
You're going to watch Spider-Man.
I'm not going to watch it. I'm going to watch maybe two episodes and then decide. Mm-hmm. That's the thing. I'll check it out. But I have not been impressed with any of this Marvel animation on Disney XD, to tell the truth. I have not been impressed with it. But kids are going to like it, and that's fine. But I guess I'm 40, I refuse to grow up, but I still, you have to be able to appeal to me as well. But what I think what they need to do is have a way to appeal to the people who grew up reading the comics, as well as maybe your new fans, and you find a good blend, and I don't feel like they've done that.
There should be a good blend in there somewhere.
I don't feel like they've really done that. They're just, marketing their movie franchise, really. And there is even Avengers Secret Wars coming up, which I don't know if they're actually going to dive into the Secret Wars. All I've seen is they're, bringing in Captain Marvel, the former Miss Marvel, and also the new Miss Marvel. And I have seen videos on YouTube where people are complaining Marvel seems to be shoving Captain Marvel at us and nobody really cares about that character. She's still not popular, despite them putting her in everything. And now she's going to be in this cartoon as well. I liked her old style of Miss Marvel. Captain Marvel, the costume doesn't look good. The colors are cool, but the weird hair and I don't know. But there's an upcoming Captain Marvel film that they're going to work on. We'll see if they can make the character cool. They have a lot to live up to because with Wonder Woman, we're going to talk about later on the show, when I talk to Philip, there's a really high standard that has now been set of how you do a female superhero.
And it was a good movie.
They set the bar very high, which we'll talk about that later. So I'm hardly letting you have a chance to say anything.
That's normal.
Yeah.
Well, that's normal.
That's the thing is, I feel like I'm diving into stuff and you haven't got a chance to look at any of this all the week.
No, I'm sorry.
But
I'm still recovering from Thesis Land.
You've been out of Thesis Land for a week now. So, but I plan that you need to be on the show more often with us.
Okay.
People miss you. There's people who like you. I've gotten nice comments about you.
Oh, people miss me. Oh, they like me?
Yeah, I have gotten nice comments about you.
Oh.
So, yeah, hopefully we're going to have you back on here more often to talk about different kind of things and help me review movies and things like that. But you know what? I think we need to go and check out all the information. Too bad you didn't get to come with me for this Cars 3 event, but what were you doing on that day?
I was working. School was still in.
School was still in session. Yeah, that was actually on our anniversary that day.
Yep.
So, and I went to work for you, my podcast friends. Doing things for you instead of with my wife. That's my life now. But anyway, so it was a really, really neat event. If it's coming to your town, you can still check it out. I think it's called like the Cars 3 heading for the race or whatever. But there's a tour. If you Google search Cars 3 tour, you'll probably find the website. And see if it's coming to your town. It was pretty neat. I did take some photos of it, which I don't believe I've posted to the website yet. So I will make sure I post those up to our news page on NeverlandPodcast.com. I'll get them up there as quick as I can. I did share them on my Instagram page if you follow me on Instagram, although Instagram kind of shrinks the sides in. But it was really a lot of fun. I had to wait in an enormously long line. But that's what we're doing for our trailer park. So let's go and check it out.
Give me that shovel! Come here!
Get him off! Get that gator!
The Neverland Trailer Park.
All right, Neverlanders. I've been talking about, well, at least I talked about it once, but we have an event here in Kansas City where there's for promotion for Cars 3. We have some life-size versions of Lightning McQueen and a couple other characters from Cars 3. I'm out here. I'm going to get some photos, try to talk to some people about some of these new characters if I can, and generally cover this as best as I can, and a crowd of a lot of people who have brought their children out to check out this event.
No more straight lines, just a good old-fashioned oval.
Hey, now! You that out-of-towner?
Yes, that's me, Chester Whipplefilter.
And I'm Francis Beltline.
Cruz, what are you doing?
I'm your trainer. Gonna track your speed from the infield, Whipplefilter.
Fine, just stay out of the way. Excuse me, sir? Where are the other racers?
Oh, they'll be alone. We always let our guests start right up front.
Welcome, y'all, to Thunder High Speedway for tonight's edition
out here.
Move,
Bruce. Move.
Nobody touches him. He is mine.
You won't get now, Whipplefilter.
His friends were going to get up, right, folks? He is not free.
You are about to feel the wrath of the Lower Bell Bell County Unified School District.
So I'm here at the Cars 3 Tour event. I'm talking to you. Who are you?
I'm Lisa with Disney.
Lisa with Disney. Yay, yeah. Disney people. We've got some three new characters out here. Well, one of them we're kind of familiar with, Lightning McQueen.
Yep, he's the living legend. You gotta love Lightning McQueen.
So I got a couple of new characters from the new film. What can you tell us about these new characters?
Sure. So in Cars 3, Lightning McQueen is no longer the young hotshot. He needs to get trained to get back in the game, and that's where Cruz Ramirez is going to come into play. She's the tech-savvy trainer. She's really going to whip him into shape. And she needs to whip him into shape because he's facing off against a new enemy, Jackson Storm. So he's the gray and blue guy that you'll see over there, and he's a bad guy. Gotta watch out for him.
So I've noticed, with looking at the previous trailers, it reminds me actually of a Rocky film a little bit. Because, you know, kind of like Rocky 3, actually. You got your Mr. T car, who's like the new young stud coming in there, takes him out, loses his championship reign, and now he's got to go back into training and get it all back. So that's a very cool idea. I don't know if anybody was thinking of that when they were making the movie. It's like, this is like Rocky 3. That's awesome.
What I can tell you is, yeah, he's definitely the underdog in this film. Lightning McQueen, he's the underdog. And then, yes, there's a new threat that's being posed against him, and he's in a different part of his journey. So we've seen him in the other films, you know, really just grow as a character. And then in this one, he's facing a new challenge. He's at a crossroads in his career. So we've just got to see what he's going to decide to do.
Yeah, another thing this reminds me of, they've really done well with Toy Story of showing, well, what happens when the children age and what's going to happen later when you're an older toy. So now we've got an older vehicle, which, yeah, normally NASCAR, something like that, oh, well, you're an old driver, you know, nobody cares, or you're an older car, it's time to upgrade. So we're going to see him having to kind of change and upgrade any technology or just become a better racer by the end. What are we aiming for with his training?
Yeah, so Jackson Storm, he's a next-gen racer. He's basically ushering in a new kind of racing. There's a ton of other next-gen racers pushing Lightning McQueen out of the sport of racing. They're a big threat because they train differently. So when Cruz Ramirez starts to train Lightning McQueen, he's exposed to all these new techniques, and he's trying to figure out, you know, I've never trained on a simulator before, but these young guys are doing it, so is that going to help me get back in the game? So we've really got to see if those kinds of things work for him.
Yeah. And as we just saw in this preview here, it looks like he's doing a little figure eight demolition derby and some unexpected training.
Yeah, so he comes across some really cool new characters like Miss Fritter. She's a demolition diva. You gotta love her.
That character.
Yeah, and so he's gonna travel. He's gonna meet new characters. We have a ton of new characters. And then also some of our favorites from Radiator Springs are gonna, you know, if you love them, don't rest assured you'll get to check them out too.
Yeah, because so far I haven't seen anything of Mater, and I love Mater.
Yeah, he was, you know, he might be in there. You got to check it out. June 16th when the movie hits.
He's hiding in the crowd in this demolition. I just didn't see
it. You never know.
It seems like a Mater style event in there.
Exactly. So, exactly. Yeah.
Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome. Yeah, thank you.
Let's take a ride out of Disney Park. Let's take a ride right now. Oh, oh.
Thank you. this planet.
Hippie.
Champion needs speed
and style.
Luigi, give our friend your best.
One time for you, my friend. On with the best. Fist up. Oh, what? Now you look like a real race car. Green up to the starting line.
Okay.
It takes more than new tires to win a race. I'm your new crew chief.
I'll tell you when to pitch a hard, get it into the groove. So pay attention.
Stuff like you would never see.
Be a movie.
Yeah, we're gonna be a movie.
Starring everybody.
And me.
Boy, I wish I were you people seeing this for the first time.
Kermit, I got a great picture of the chicken.
Oh, good.
All right, so... to begin our coverage of some Wonder Woman, of course, we have to have our movie review, because I just saw it today. Did you see? I guess you saw it today as well.
I saw it yesterday.
You saw it yesterday. And with me here is Lost Boy Philip,
who
we haven't heard from for a while, other than your birthday message, which I did add into the show last week.
Awesome.
Not all of it. You had a lot more that was just for us, but the basic happy birthday I shared last week, because people haven't gotten to hear from me for a while. But you being more of the DC fan than I am, I figure if anyone's going to come and talk Wonder Woman with me, I need somebody like you.
Ah, I love it.
So, but first, let's talk a little bit about this film. Connie Nielsen, which you wouldn't know necessarily by name, played, of course, Hippolyta. Did great. You might have recognized her from Gladiator. That's where Heather first thought of her.
Yeah. I couldn't think from where.
Yeah. And then, of course, Buttercup there playing General. Yes. And we had to look up the name Antiope. But to me, she was General Buttercup. I mean, some really great actors, which I thought they would have had a bigger part, but they're important parts.
When you got a name like that, though, you're that well known in Hollywood, you can make it a small appearance and be
but
yet memorable.
A big appearance.
Yeah, that's right.
A lot of great cast. And there's a magazine we got, the Entertainment Weekly, has come out, and it has Lisa Loven playing Kong Lis Menelab. I don't even remember seeing this character in the background. but a lot of great actors. Newcomer Gal Gadot, a former Miss Israel and Miss Universe competitor who is playing Wonder Woman. Of course, this is not quite her debut as Wonder Woman. She was in Batman v Superman, which you didn't enjoy at all.
I like things about it. Yeah. She was probably the best part.
Yeah, she was awesome
her
as Wonder
Affleck
Woman.
Her and Affleck were my favorite parts of the movie. Hmm. Yeah. And the music, her music, Wonder Woman's music. I want that soundtrack.
I did look online. I did. There is like stuff you can hear her stuff. I haven't went back and listened. Was it the same music they used in this film? That da da da.
Yeah, that's it.
Okay,
I like that.
So basically, you got newcomer actors. You got Chris Pine in there playing Steve Trevor.
He's awesome.
Which was great to see that character. I mainly remember him from the old Linda Carter series, mm-hmm. the character, yeah. where they're doing the spy thing, you know, that kind of thing. Overall, great cast and a lot of newcomers, which... Really, when you look at this film overall, it takes a lot from Captain America: The First Avenger, which I've been saying since that first trailer came out.
Well, this is her basic original story, and so yeah. I knew it's not so much it's taking anything from Captain America; it's taken from the original Wonder Woman story.
Yeah,
it's just that they're very much alike in the fact that at that time there were a ton of comic books that were made because of World War II, mm-hmm. and. Even though in this film it's taking place in World War I.
That way they can try to sidestep the Captain yeah. America First Avenger references.
But in reality, in the original story, it took place during World War II, 1941.
Yeah. But we'll get into the original comic. Yeah. We're talking about the movie yeah. for now.
So in this, it's World War I.
Right.
In this film. Anyway, so they did a good job. They did. Yeah. I think it's a good film.
Let me get to where I was. What I was talking
sure,
about.
Sorry about that.
So Captain America: The First Avenger. Here's where it's similar. You have a general who's given enhanced powers. Mm-hmm. You have a mad scientist who's creating something to destroy the world.
Yes.
You have somebody who goes over and has demonstrated it, has some ability, but no one seems to really believe that she's capable of doing what she's doing. Kind of like Captain America. He'd shown that he'd run down that guy and did some amazing things, but he's off to the side, and Tommy Lee Jones' character is really not believing he's going to do anything until he does it, and then holy crap, look what you can do. You get a team of kind of the rogues gallery of a Howling Commando team that you don't really expect enough of, but they become like a good family unit in a lot of ways. Well, they're all different and kind of unique in their own way, so she gets a similar team. And I don't want to spoil anything in the end, but you will see a plane crash that somebody really saves the day. But I'm not going to say any more than that because I don't want to spoil anything for those who have not seen the film.
One thing that I think is a twist in it is, though, that she, being the hero, is a she, and she, at that time, would have really had to deal with the unfairness of being a woman.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a fact at the time, so I think that was an interesting look of it, you know?
Yeah, and it was fun watching her, because you see how she grows up in Themyscira, and, you know, her mother doesn't even really want her to become this warrior, because that's some plot points I don't want to get into. Because she does have her own unique hero's journey, and it really was a hero's journey of coming from obscurity and thinking that, you know, the race of men are all going to be good, and it's only Ares, the god of war, who's caused this horrible stuff to happen, and I can go and fix that. And so it was this naivety that she had when she gets into the rest of the world outside of her paradise, that you see her journey through that, and it was really good watching her grow as a character and become the hero she's supposed to be, but yet always having those qualities, because it's not, this is great, because, you know, we're in the realm of where we're trying to have more strong women in superheroes and on television. We want good women role models. And what I liked about this is that despite I feel like we're pressuring young girls because, oh, we don't have enough women who are scientists and all this stuff. And I feel like we're pressuring young girls that they have to become scientists or something. You know what? Young girls and young ladies out there, if you're listening to this, you become whatever you want to be. Mm-hmm. What is the strength of a woman, and what is the main theme of Wonder Woman of this film and of the character, is what makes her strong is her compassion. Not that she's this great warrior with super strength and other amazing abilities, but her compassion and her love. And that's what drives her to do what she does. And that is the strength you, if you're listening to this and you're a woman, that is the strength you have. That's what makes a good, strong woman, is your love and your compassion. You can have more compassion than any of us men ever dream of. Your ability to show love. You are, God put you on this earth because we needed you, because you have love and compassion in spades, ladies, and that is where your strength is. You don't have to be some macho woman or all the stuff that the society is trying to put pressure on you to become, and otherwise you're not a strong woman. You are already a strong woman because of your love and compassion, and if you fail to be able to show your love and compassion because the world is pressing you down, I cry for that. You've got so much love and compassion to share with you, and there's so many ways. There's a great line in this that I love that Steve Trevor says, "I'm going to save the day, but you are going to change the world." Ladies, that's what you're here for. You can change the world because of your love and compassion. And that was a great theme in this movie. There was two women who directed it, and they made sure that message came across, that whatever type of woman you are, whatever you're doing in life, your love and compassion is your strength and your power, and you can change the world with it. And don't let anybody tell you that you're not strong, because you are.
That's right.
There, I had to soapbox that, because
that's okay.
I love this movie.
I thought they did a great job,
because that message, and when it comes through at the end, because when she shows compassion, because she didn't really kill a whole lot of people.
Yeah.
She, you know, when you see like the Mascara and the Warriors and they were fighting the Germans at first, it was a lot of violence and they kept the violence at a comic book level.
What I liked was most of hers was defense.
Showed her compassion. Oh, her defense. Yes. Yeah. The things that she did, she, oh my gosh, was such a great hero. There was no dark side to her other than her naivety and stuff like that. This was the type of hero we've been wanting from DC. This is what Superman should be like.
This is so far, in my opinion, this is the best of the DC films so far.
Yes. Oh, I loved it.
In their new. Not to put you down, Zack, especially with what you're going through
right now. Although Zack Snyder did produce on this.
He helped on the writing.
I was surprised.
if this is what it means for you, Zack, keep producing. Don't get involved with the directing. But that's all I got to say about it. So far, I've not been impressed with anything he's done. But I hope Justice League will be different.
I hope so.
Even though I think it's going to help that Joss Whedon's helping with that. So
yeah.
That'll good.
Yeah, Joss Whedon now working on that. That kind of makes me excited because he's good at a good ensemble. Right. We know that.
That's good.
And I think if they realize how strong of a character they have now in Wonder Woman and how good a character that they, you know, and good actress that they've got for this, if they use her.
I am curious to hear what Joss Whedon wants to say, simply because in 2004, he excitingly had written and was ready to direct and produce a Wonder Woman movie, and they kind of swung it out from under him. So I don't know why, but boy, so I'm so thrilled this was good.
And let him, you know what? The way this is established and did a lot of, with World War One, I can't imagine Wonder Woman not being involved in World War Two.
Yeah.
I want a sequel where she's doing stuff in World War Two.
Eventually, I'd like to see some of the characters from the comic.
Yes, Cheetah. Because
this one
we had Dr. Poison in there, which I did a little research on Dr. Poison. Let me pull that back up again. I tried to figure out who she was because it was an interesting character. Oh, and here is Dr. Poison. We've got through a book. There's been at least two, if not three, Dr. Poison characters that I came across because you had Princess Maru, the original Golden Age one, which I don't know why they did the porcelain face. That made it very interesting in the movie that she had apparently has injured her face from all of her work with these chemicals and stuff like that, which is all they kind of said in some of the magazines. But she was disguised herself as Mei Xing, a princess, and worked in a Chinese nightclub at one point, which is why she's known as Princess Maru. But Dr. Poison was, of course, a chemist and made all kinds of different weapons. And, you know, she's had different versions like post-crisis because, you know, there's always a crisis in the DC world. But she was part of different teams called Villainy Incorporated after Crisis and Visional and on Infinite Earths. Was a team created by Queen Clea. There was a later version at the New 52. There's a Caucasian daughter of a Russian parascientist renowned for the knowledge of poisons, and she's the daughter of that. And what was the name of this person? It's a doctor, still a Dr. Maru. Yes, there's also
her granddaughter.
Yeah, like she's a related, but there's a new one with the DC Rebirth. In the current, there's Colonel Marina Maru. She was a Japanese soldier working for an organization called Poison.
Yeah.
So she's had a lot of different incarnations with that character.
Yeah, that's right.
Of course, Wonder Woman herself has had a lot of changes. Now, I didn't recognize any other characters besides Steve Trevor and Diana Prince and Hippolyta and stuff like that from anything I know of the comics.
I knew.
Was it like the general? Was he somebody you would have been familiar with?
I'm not exactly sure about the general himself, because I think what they're kind of trying to do, and he might have been, I don't know. I'm not such a big fan that I know every little character, and it's not like what it is with Superman and Batman for me. But I will say he sounded familiar. Now, of course, Ares, I knew.
Yeah, big time.
And I knew that.
And I will not say what actor is playing Ares, because if you haven't seen it, it's a big spoiler.
But
it was a great casting, too.
They had a lot of good actors.
Yes. A great casting of who they had playing Ares. And for something that Heather thought was kind of a weakness, I said, no, but that's what made it such a great casting.
Yeah.
But I can't say anything else because I don't want to spoil it. But seeing Ares in there as kind of a big bad, as well as having Dr. Poison, but you know the general, I was not familiar with him. But overall, great film, great message. This is definitely the superhero for young girls to have right now. This is exactly what I'd like to see for your role model, because showing compassion to others, and because when she gets into her first thing and has her big heroic moment, is because she wants to save and she sees what's happening to these people, and she's not. It's not. I thought, oh, she's going to get mad at this, but no, it didn't seem like she was mad. She was like, "I'm going to save these people." She'll do whatever it takes to protect, to save. She is true hero, and young ladies, young children, that's the type of person I think you can be. You don't have to be a big warrior, but your love and compassion will make you a hero.
A woman's got to do what a woman's got
to
do.
That's right. And we love you for it.
That's right.
But let's turn a corner from the movie to talking about the comic book character, which we have traced back to 1941. Let's see. What was that character's name? He is, of course, in college, developed a lie detector test based on blood pressure, which is gave birth to the now modern polygraph test. He was into some weird stuff, and a polygamy of sorts, where he had a wife and a live-in mistress. Was into some bondage stuff, and actually was inspired by his live-in mistress and bondage to where Wonder Woman has those bracers, and if anyone was to chain those bracers together, you could actually bind her. Now, I don't know if that's still a current thing, because
they got rid of that.
That was kind of a weird, creepo thing. William Moulton Marston. There we go.
Yes.
I had to find his name.
But I'll say this. He loved his mother and grandmother very much. That was something in the documentary about him that I watched. And he said back then that there was plenty of heroes that were based on men and not a whole lot of women. And so that was one of the things he wanted to change. And I thought that they did it, you know. I don't think he had any idea that he was making.
He was creating such an icon.
The icon superhero girl. I mean, you don't. This is not to say I don't like all the other characters, women characters. I do. But when you think of great women superheroes, she is, if not the first one, one of the first ones that you think of. She was before Supergirl.
Yeah.
She was before all the Marvel characters, obviously. I mean, so.
Well, except for Captain America.
No, I'm talking about Marvel women.
Of Marvel women, yeah. That's true. Yeah, I don't know about any Marvel women that were. That that's even been out
around. Because Marvel wasn't really around.
It was Timely Comics. That's right.
And Stan Lee didn't have anything to do with it.
The only one I can think of to be early would be like the Invisible Woman of the Fantastic Four.
She wasn't around yet.
That was in the 60s.
Yeah.
That's the first Marvel woman I can think of that was like this great.
That's still really around.
And she's still awesome.
And then the only one that came after that who's still around was at the time Marvel Girl.
Right.
Who would then become, you know, later on, Jean Grey.
Right.
So that's about it.
Yep. Yep. So, yeah, Wonder Woman is the stuff.
Yeah.
So, finally to get a movie of Wonder Woman. And I remember, golly, when I was a kid, watching the Linda Carter series. Let's go ahead and listen to that sound right now.
Wonder Woman! Wonder Woman! All the world's waiting for you. In your satin tights, fighting for your rights, and the old red, white, and blue. Wonder Woman, Wonder Woman. Now the world is ready for you. A hawk and dove, stop a war with love, make the liar tell it true. Wonder Woman, get us out from under, Wonder Woman. All our hopes are pinned upon you, and the magic that you do. Stop a bullet cold, make the axis fold, change their minds and change the world. Wonder Woman, Wonder Woman, you're a wonder, Wonder Woman.
I love that old theme, don't you?
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, oh, yes. Great quality stuff. Because that was the first Wonder Woman that I was familiar with. And it, you know, I was also the time I guess I got to see the Wonder Woman series when I was younger, even before I got to see the 1960s Batman.
When I was a kid, on Friday nights, you would get to watch Dukes of Hazzard, The Incredible Hulk, and Wonder Woman, on CBS.
I had to skip Incredible Hulk. It scared me to death.
And then, then on Saturday morning, I'd have Super Friends.
Yeah.
And so it was a great, wonderful thing.
Yes.
And Wonder Woman was on that.
Wonder Woman was part of the Super Friends. That's and right. She was great and had the Invisible Jet. I hope they do like the Invisible Jet next movie.
They say in the comic books they've gotten rid of that. They have her flying now, which I don't mind her flying.
Yeah, because she can fly on her own now. And I didn't know if she was going to be able to fly in this movie. It kind of looked at the end, that last shot, she kind of take off.
I just know this. I personally, people like to make fun of it, but I like the Invisible Jet.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
I would love to have one.
Except for if you forget where you parked it, you know.
Yeah, but if they have a way of knowing, I mean, yeah,
maybe, if there's some magic to it for somehow, having, you
clinging
know?
The little bracelet things and maybe show a little
only she can fly it, only she can see it, you know. That's, you know, it would be really cool to bring it back.
I love that thing.
Oh, but I found that, my goodness, there were so many different incarnations. Because originally, you know, and her mother had a slightly different name, but she debuted as backup feature in Sensational, well, All-Star Comics, but she was also in Sensation Comics, and eventually did get her own series back in the 40s.
Yeah.
And the she actually did not start with her Lasso of Truth. That did come along a little bit later. But she was actually, in January 1941, she got her first cover on Sensation Comics number 1. And this is where she, this is kind of interesting. So you have Princess Diana. This is where she meets an army nurse named Diana Prince and buys her identity and job from her. This is also where you first see the invisible plane. But instead of identity theft, she bought the identity. So what happened to the original Diana Prince? How much money did she give her? I mean, she's like, here, I'll give you all this money. We'll let you retire to this island, because Themyscira was not the name of the island at this time.
No.
It was just this Greek thing. And in the original incarnation, we won't say about the new 52 incarnation because I don't want to spoil anything that's in the movie.
Yeah.
But in the new 52, this is different. But originally, yes, she was molded from clay and brought to life by Aphrodite.
Hmm.
Don't know why it was Aphrodite. It was kind of cool that it was in the movie. They said, no, she brought to life by Zeus.
Yeah.
But she does find out something different. Like I said, the new 52 origin did come into play. Yeah. But I won't say it because they make it a movie point, and I don't want to spoil it for anyone who has not seen it. There's a lot of stuff that happened. They even, at one point, she kind of got a revamp and got a different costume. She's wearing all white. At one point, she was working and like had a sort of a beauty store of sorts that she was running. But they keep trying to revitalize her, and she was kind of becoming an icon even to people like Gloria Steinem. And she was kind of a good role model for young girls at the time. Yeah, and I love the images you see of her with the glasses, because in the movies they did bring the glasses back, which did make me think of, you know, Linda Carter, because, you know, Linda Carter had those giant tinted glasses that she'd wear.
Yes, she sure did.
Oh, it was so cool. But
yeah, the original island was Paradise Island.
Yeah, it was Paradise Island.
Yeah,
and then it became Themyscira, I believe, in 1987, when the entire DC universe was shut down and then restarted with brand new origins.
That's awful.
Yes, Etta Candy, who's in the movie, is a real. She was a comic relief character back in the day.
It looked like this.
Oh, really?
Etta Candy.
She ate a candy. Yeah, I guess was the idea.
Candy. Yeah, Etta Candy.
So, it also, I found it very interesting. In the 60s, they had been doing, where they did a Wonder Girl comic, and it was supposed to be a young Diana Prince.
Yeah.
But eventually they changed it around to where there was a Wonder Girl as part of the Teen Titans, and that was supposed to be Diana's little sister.
But that kind of makes sense, because if you think about it, Superboy was originally Superman as a boy.
Right.
So it kind of makes sense that that's what they would do with Wonder Girl before they changed it.
Yeah.
It wasn't until the 90s that Superboy became a completely different character.
Yeah, he became a clone.
A clone, yeah.
But did you see in there that they had Wonder Tot?
Wonder Tot.
Yes, this was her as a baby. Even had some stuff.
Look at this.
Adventures as a toddler. Oh my
gosh!
She
had a kangaroo. What's called a kanga called Jumpa that she used to use.
She was riding on a kangaroo, a pretty good sized kangaroo. Even wow. Okay, well, that's weird. But after a couple of different flip-flops around, so in 87, you know, the entire DC universe shut down. They restarted all the characters, and this is where Themyscira came along.
That's where you have the whole identity crisis. Not identity, it was Infinite Earths.
The Infinite Earths, yes. I guess what, you know, this is the whole myth. And they became more bit mythological with her origins. It got a bit more into the Greek half. The funny thing is, I found, is that Steven Trevor has died and come back a couple of times.
Yep, that's right.
In fact, he died and came back, and then it was that Steven Trevor from a different timeline, a different world, who was a spy with the Air Force, which right before they shut down the DC universe, him and Wonder Woman got married.
Yeah, I've seen that one. I remember.
That was really funny.
She had this thing at one time called a mental radio. It says Wonder Woman may have invented a mental radio, which converted brain waves into audio-visual signals. Diana used it to stay in touch with home as well as her mortal allies. So
telepathic, but with a device.
Yeah.
Well, you know, you got to do what you got to do, I guess. So yeah, there's even been some new incarnations here recently, because the new 52, they have changed her origins around, which I will not say because they do go into the movie and they treat it as a surprise and a mystery to the movie. But she's even had another reboot here lately with the Rebirth. And there's even been some reboots where they tried to give her a different outfit and put her in pants, and it didn't go over well. It's funny. There's a great magazine that Entertainment Weekly has put out that gives all kinds of history on Wonder Woman. I do recommend it because it goes through all the different incarnations she has had and all the changes from having the kind of an eagle symbol on her chest to where that eventually became like a pair of W's to where eventually they kind of mixed the two where it's like W's and a bird, which is kind of what you see in the movie. It's a pretty good tribute. The Sword and the Shield, I think, is a new 52 thing, because I don't remember her ever having a Sword and the Shield any time I saw it. It was mainly that Lasso of Truth and those bracelets that she could repel bullets she's not invulnerable, which
she's had it in a few times, but mostly it's been some of the times where she's been like a warrior, like Kingdom Come and all that kind of stuff. They had DC would have her with a sword and with a shield, but it's not very often. Sometimes she'll be wearing a cape when she would have it. So I had like a red cape with a little bit of white on the outside and that kind of
thing. Yeah, I think they used that in the old Linda Carter series. They got her on some all too, had her in a cape.
And some of the things that's changed throughout time is she used to have this villain by the name of Egg Foo.
Egg Foo?
He was this great big egg, and he would have a certain oriental look about him. Nowadays, that would be known as somewhat racist. And so because of that, they have changed it to where now he does not look like that. He does not have this little curly mustache like he used to have. And they've tried to get away from that, to where now it's supposed to be almost like an alien or something, and not certain, racist looking. It really was.
Yeah, look, from the picture here in this, but we were also looking through...
it was a different time.
DK, like a DK. Isn't that the one DK books makes these big ones about characters?
Yes.
Which Philip has quite the collection of these.
Yes, I do. I have a whole slew of DK books.
All the extra details it has about the characters is very cool.
Yeah. They've had a bunch of different villains, some who come and change through time, and it's just the way it is. Sometimes things change, and usually for the better, not always.
Right.
Sometimes they get rid of a character, and they say, you know what, we probably shouldn't have changed him. It was cool. And other times, like, we'll just change a little bit. But not a lot.
Yeah.
Or like with Wonder Woman, like in the late 60s, they did make her basically like a Mod Squad type. You can see it in that magazine. She will seem to be wearing white clothes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's in the 1968. They tried to make her a modern 60s woman. They took her powers away.
It did not work.
It was a terrible idea.
And then,
she started training in martial arts instead.
What had happened was, at that time, when the women's liberation started up, Wonder Woman started being used on signs as a symbol of women's power. And so the women started revolting against that. And so it turned it around. And they said, oh, we better turn her back the way she used to be. And that kind of helped about a few years later, changed it back into her old outfit. Because the woman said, no, we don't like her being modernized. Turn her back to the way she once was. Because she was her own person, not trying to fit in.
Awesome.
And so that, it's funny, I know they meant well, but it didn't turn out that
right.
well.
Well, you know, that happens with a lot of comics. They get these grand ideas and they think they're doing wonderful things, and they mean well, but they really did something disastrous. Hello, Marvel, I'm talking to you directly. You have done so many things that you think you were doing a good idea, and you mean well, but you've really wrecked a lot of characters.
Yeah, well,
but I am looking forward to sometime this month. There's a new Peter Parker, the Spectacular Spider-Man, coming, and they're saying they're going to get back to the friendly neighborhood version of Spider-Man.
Yay!
So I'm going to check out this book, and it's not being written by Dan Slott, so I think I might actually enjoy it. We'll put it like that. So, because I have been, at the Planet Comic Con when Eric and I were there, I did find a big collection. It was Clint's Comics had. Like for $10, I got like 40 comics, and I got all kinds of old Spider-Man. And just enjoyed. What is this you're finding in modern age?
Yeah, 1968. Oh, that's what we're talking about.
Yep.
Forget the old. The new Wonder Woman is here.
Oh wow! Some of the pictures we're seeing are just silly.
Yeah, and oh boy, Dr. Cyber.
Wow, and all in white and fighting sometimes with a. a katana blade.
You can definitely tell this is the days of Doctor Who is starting to come around.
Yeah, Star Trek.
Star Trek, and definitely has, maybe James Bond going around the background. I can almost hear Sean Connery shaking, not stirred.
Yeah. My goodness.
Oh, it's funny. Mars Attacks. Anyway, she's gone through an awful lot of changes throughout the years.
What would you say, like, strength level? Is she a rival to Superman's strength?
Well, I don't think she's quite as strong.
It says that she's stronger than Hercules, is the only thing I found.
I'm not sure if she's quite as strong, but then again, I have seen her fight him before, so I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't want to say yes or no, because, you know, truth be told, I'm still so old school.
Yeah.
And I probably always will be. Yes, I know, I'm old. But the fact of the matter is I don't like all the changes. And even if you're young right now, that's all good and fine, that's great. But I got news for you. Love what comics you love, but I guarantee you, in the next few years, they'll change it, and then they'll change it, and then they'll change it.
They'll keep messing with it.
And there's nothing wrong with them changing things, except that it is really frustrating, because just when you start to get used to it, they'll change it again.
Right.
So that's the only problem I have with comic books nowadays.
And Wonder Woman has certainly changed a lot.
Yep.
But I like, because I always wondered about, you know, her invulnerability, and but she's not invulnerable from what I was looking at. Yeah. And there's even one point, she got a bit of a scratch, but she can move really, really fast.
She healed real quick.
Yeah, she healed pretty fast, too. That was really cool. And I like how they showed that. But it did show how, with a bullet, and it kind of went to a bullet time a little bit, but it shows how fast she is, and she can think really fast, and that's why she can block all those bullets.
Yeah.
She if she got shot, you could probably kill her. But you got to be able to shoot her. And she can block all kinds of bullets, and then she's really fast.
Mm-hmm.
And amazingly fast. At one point, I was surprised how fast she can move. Where she got up from one side of the table and went up and got in somebody's face. Real quick at one point in the movie, I was like, dang, hello, Flash. So, yeah, do not mess with this woman. You get on her bad side. And one thing I did enjoy in the film, as something I know of Wonder Woman, is she has really high standards for for a man that she's going to respect. And we saw that same level of, you know, because she kind of does not like this one character, Charlie, at first, because he's a sniper. And she doesn't understand why he doesn't like to see the face of the people he kills. And, of course, a true warrior should face somebody. But she really values a strong warrior and also someone else who has compassion, which is why she really respects Superman because of his compassion. And I think she has some respect for Batman as well. But I know that she's also had issues with the fact that he kind of strikes from the night, you know, and doesn't necessarily always face down an opponent.
One of my favorite things, I don't know if anyone out there has watched it. But one of the things that they did a few years back, nearly a decade ago at this point, they had made a Justice League cartoon. It was a wonderful animated style, just like the old Batman animated series. But what they had done, and yes, they had Kevin Conroy's voice for Batman.
They had a little flirtation.
They had a little flirtation between Wonder Woman and Batman. And it almost would they, won't they thing. Which is it was a wonderful thing because I had never thought of it. Usually they would do that with Superman and Wonder Woman. And incidentally, in the future, Wonder Woman and Superman kind
of
do.
Yeah, they did have like a future version of them. Showed them
and then,
as older.
For a while there, when they did the New 52 thing.
They got rid of Lois.
Which I didn't like that. But anyway, all that being said, they did for a short time try that in the comic books with Batman and Wonder Woman. It was almost basically like a one-time thing. And it was
nobody liked it apparently in the comics.
Because they didn't do it quite right from what I saw. Mm. But in the cartoon, it was kind of fun.
Yeah, they were a little flirtatious. I've seen some YouTube video
Wonder
where people
Woman
collect all the flirting.
Became a pig in one of the episodes. And it was a great episode. A woman of
Wonder
magic.
Pig, which Miss Piggy, by the way, Miss Piggy, when Linda Carter was on the Muppet Show, Miss Piggy was Wonder Pig.
Yes, and they pretty much did that. They had Wonder Pig I think was the name of that episode.
Oh my goodness!
You have to watch it. I have it, of course. It's on.
I
Netflix.
Don't remember. Yeah, I love that old cartoon.
It's a great one.
It was a great show.
And this was one of my favorites because the second season was the Unlimited was even better than the first series of Justice League. And in this one, you have Batman at the end having to sing a song to get her turned back into being human again. And, of course, Kevin Conroy can sing.
Yeah, I'll bet he can with those pipes.
But anyway, it's a very good, fun episode. Very good. But there's a lot of romance kind of going back and forth, and they did try it for a while. So.
That'd be interesting. Maybe that's why they seem, in the Batman v Superman, they did almost seem almost a little flirtatious.
Mm-hmm. There is a comic book series I loved of Superman and Batman. I love the logo.
Oh, the World's Finest one?
But this is when it wasn't called World's Finest. Now, that's the old school World's Finest. I love that.
Hmm.
But even better was the one that they had later on, written by, I can't think of his name right now. But anyway, they had a wonderful comic book series, Superman Batman it was called, and it had the symbol of Superman, and right around it was the bat.
Yeah.
And that was a wonderful series. Later on, they had another one, which I thought was going to be just as good, and it wasn't written by the same people. Ah. However, it was still interesting. It was called Trinity. I would have called it something else just because I'm a man of God.
Yeah, I remember.
But either way, Trinity was interesting, and it was Superman, Batman, and Wonder Woman. And they were talking about them being the three important parts of the triangle of the DC universe. And I agree.
That's true.
They're the three important points of the characters. I agree.
Yep. So. But we're kind of running out of time for this here, so we need to wrap this up. But I tell you, this did definitely give me some interest in going and checking out some old Wonder Woman comics. I've never read any. Never read any.
I used to read a lot.
I did have a Rebirth one that they did for Free Comic Book Day, and they were giving her, you know, going back to origin stuff. But I've actually never read any Wonder Woman. I'm a Marvel guy, you know. So.
I like both. You know me. Yeah. I'm probably
I do like DC characters. You know.
With me, it's always been A+ for DC and A for Marvel. I won't say A- because that's not true. I love Marvel. But at the same time, it's just like with so many other things. Beatles, Elvis. So I love all these things. Yep. Sometimes I'm A+, depends on my mood. But I'm always going to be a DC guy just because it was first.
Right. And so, I still love Superman and Batman.
Oh, yeah. They're my
favorites. I definitely now love Wonder Woman because it brought back a lot of memories from watching Linda Carter.
She really is.
Fantastic character. Really loved her in this movie. Cannot recommend it enough.
To be truthful, I'm glad that they finally brought this out. Warner Brothers has been sitting on it for so long, so I couldn't understand why they did not let them bring this out before, because they've had good characters that we talked before, good people who wanted to bring it out before, and they waited and waited and waited, and finally they brought out a good one. Yeah. Maybe it was well worth the wait. Maybe they can save this so far, and no disrespect to anyone who likes the Zack Snyder films. If you like it, to each your own.
Yep.
But maybe they'll save these, in my opinion, horrible films so far.
Yeah. This is the film that you should expect from Warner Brothers for your favorite heroes. Those of you who enjoy the DC characters,
yes.
This is the type of quality you need to demand from Warner Brothers.
Yes.
Because we want to see Wonder Woman who can make a hawk and dove and win a war with love.
Yeah.
Booyah!
Hawk and dove. Those are two other good characters. Brothers.
This is your Neverland story time. You can listen along with your MP3 device. You will know it is time to listen when you hear the chime like this. Let's begin now.
On the right bank of the East River in the city of New York stands a magnificent complex of stone and glass buildings, the headquarters of the United Nations, where Diana Prince, secretly Wonder Woman, enters on the ground floor on her way to her job at the International Organization's Crisis Bureau.
Morning, Ms. Prince. Looks like rain, no?
Hi, Tommy. I'll wait and see on that rain before I commit myself.
You've been hanging out with diplomats too long, Ms. Prince. Hey, they never commit then. Uh-oh. Trouble. That man coming in. Excuse me, General.
What is the meaning of this? Where did that buzzer come from?
That's the metal detector concealed in the doorway, sir. I'm afraid you're carrying some large metal object, and I'm going to have to search you if you don't...
I certainly do mind. I'm a Brigadier General in the United States Army with an important appointment to see the Secretary General. Now, if you will excuse me...
You'll remember that this building stands on international property, General, and that bulge under your coat... A pistol. I'll take that.
Get your hands off me. Of course it's a pistol. I'm a general, and generals carry pistols if they so desire.
Well, I don't know about that, General.
This scene is getting ugly. Probably my signal to duck into that empty corridor.
I absolutely must see the Secretary General, or a terrible international incident will erupt.
Then you'll see him without that... Well, it looks as though you'll get your wish, sir. Here comes the Secretary General down the corridor now. General, put away that gun. Hey, you're no general. You're...
An assassin!
Wonder Woman, I expected you to show up, but you won't deflect my next shot. What is going on here?
Mr. Secretary General, find some cover. An assassination attempt. Great, Wonder Woman. You kicked the gun away. I got it now.
You've got my gun, but you won't get me.
You move fast for a stodgy old military man, but at the end of this corridor, there's just... A wall? Great Hera, he crashed through that wall as if it were cardboard. And now he's outside, flying under his own power. Calling robot plane, calling robot plane.
At the command of its Amazon mistress, an immeasurably powerful invisible plane zooms down from the sky, hovers briefly above her, dropping a rope ladder.
I've got the ladder. Now climb, robot plane. Follow the flying man.
And the supersonic chase is on through the skies over New York.
That so-called general is not even an ordinary assassin. He's already moving at nearly three times the speed of sound and accelerating. Faster, faster, robot plane. Must catch up to...
Welcome, my princess. How pleasant to see you again.
Goddesses, preserve me. Mars, the god of war. Where in the cosmos am I?
The cosmos is quite correct, Princess Diana. For once, you were tricked into traveling at eight times the speed of sound, chasing the general I created, making it possible to bring you crashing here through a dimensional window into another universe.
Another universe? Why? What's that you're doing with your sword? It's flaming!
I am sealing off the dimensional window, closing the hole in the fabric of the cosmos like a scar.
So I can't get back. But what does the high and mighty god of war want with a mere Amazon woman?
Not a mere Amazon princess. You underestimate yourself. You are the only thing at the United Nations capable of keeping my general and my other three agents who have infiltrated the Security Council from killing the chiefs of certain key delegations.
Infiltrated the Security Council? Merciful Minerva!
I will allow you to go home soon, Wonder Woman, to a world at war.
I'll reopen that dimensional window or... I tried to leap up at you with all my Amazon strength, but that sound in my head sent me flying in the other direction.
Try again, princess.
I tried to whip my arms around to make an air current, throw you off balance and out of the way, but it only drove me down into the ground.
You are in another universe, Wonder Woman, where the dominating force is sound. The physical laws that give you your powers do not hold here.
Sound? Then I'll yell at the top of my lungs.
You can't even focus the energies of your own body. How can you hope to tumble the god of war against his will?
Hera, help me.
I'll try, Wonder Woman.
Who's that?
It's Hera, queen of the goddesses. You called, and I answer. Mars cannot hear me, only you.
Giving up, Wonder Woman? Save your strength for the Great War, a war that will feed my power and make Mars supreme among the gods.
There is a power I can give you that may defeat Mars.
What power?
The power to conjure images. If you throw symbols at him that anger him enough, he will bring his sword down on you in rage. Then if you can block the sword with your magic bracelets, that will harness enough power to rip open the dimensional window.
The Security Council session is beginning, Princess. Care to watch?
Power mad, despotic male, I say this to you.
Taking Hera's advice, Wonder Woman conjures up the universal symbol of peace.
What? A dove? You conjure a bird of peace to fly at me? Here is my answer.
Oh, a hawk to kill the dove. Then what is your answer to this?
When the rustler...
One of those peace-loving folk singers. Ugh. Let her contend with this.
Behind this tree, he saw his people engaging the dragon.
Hitler, you play rough. Then take the sounds of Woodstock.
For the loser now, will be later to win.
The Civil Rights March on Washington.
I have a dream.
The Sermon on the Mount.
Enough of you and your silly game. Now you will know that the power of war is greater than the power of peace. and I will prove it with a single swing of my sword.
As the God of War swings his mighty sword, Wonder Woman blocks the blow with her magic bracelets, harnessing enough power to slash open the dimensional window back into this universe. And in microseconds, she is back in the United Nations.
Made it. But I must get to the Security Council chamber before it's too late. Oh, help me, Hera, help me!
Diana, this is Hera. You will be able to find the four assassins because they will be glowing with a glow only you can see. Be fleet of foot and strong of heart, Diana.
Oh, thank you, Queen of Goddesses, thank you!
Throwing open the door to the chamber, Wonder Woman enters, and instantly her keen eye catches sight of a figure of a man standing in the back of the hall.
And the chair recognizes the representative of the People's Republic.
You! Over there! The man with the broom!
With one mighty leap, Wonder Woman reaches the disguised assassin and grabs the broom out of his hand.
Wonder Woman, unhand that poor custodian!
He's no custodian, Mr. Chairman. Look here, this broom handle has a concealed dart gun. And there, look out! The fake general!
You'll never take me! The bullets! They're bouncing off your bracelets!
Like you're bouncing off the floor! And you, up there in the press box, you're no reporter!
You won't get me!
Leaping up to the press section 40 feet over the meeting chamber, Wonder Woman seizes the phony reporter.
You can't hide now! You can't even run!
Oh, my neck! Let go of my neck!
Your weapons first! Where are your assassination weapons?
In my pants!
Just what I thought. A hidden hypodermic needle. Now for assassin number four. Where could he... There! That cameraman!
Leaping down into the hall again, Wonder Woman confronts the last of the would-be assassins and seizes his camera.
This camera holds enough poisonous serum to drop every single delegate in this hall. Someone call UN security to pick up these four... Hey, where do they go?
They vanished. All four assassins just disappeared into thin air.
Impossible. Where could they have... Hera! Oh, Hera, help me!
Look up there. A woman, a beautiful woman, floating in the air over the chamber.
Women and men of the United Nations, my child Wonder Woman has done well. She has averted a horrible war on Earth, as we of Olympus have dealt with its cause on high, the evil god of war.
Then you have captured Mars, great Hera?
Yes, and forced him to recall his four agents. We have imprisoned the lord of war in a netherworld of the cosmos, from which even he cannot escape. Your Earth is safe from his forces through your efforts, Diana, along with our own.
Thank you, Mother Hera.
Carry on, my children, and go in peace.
Thank you for listening to the Neverland Podcast.
We invite you back next week for more fun and adventure.
Until then, remember to keep a pixie in your pocket.
It's that young at heart, positive attitude that you can share with others.
And remember to visit our website at neverlandpodcast.com.
There you can find links to our news page, our shop,
our contact page, where you can easily send an email to podcast@neverlandpodcast.com.
You can also find our Neverlanders page, where you can find out how to become an official Lost Boy or Pixie, because girls are too clever to get lost.
Become a real Neverlander.
Please feel free to leave us a voicemail at 816-226-6492.
And be sure to follow us on Twitter at NeverlandPCast.
And like our Neverland Podcast fan page on Facebook.
We also have a group on Facebook for you to join.
We also appreciate your support to keep the Neverland Podcast up and running.
Visit patreon.com/neverlandpodcast to donate to keeping the pixie dust alive.
Copyright content featured on the Neverland Podcast is copyright of their respective creators and used under fair use license.
All original content is copyright of Blue Band Productions, and a very special thanks to Yeehaw Bob Jackson at yeehawbob.com for our new ending music.
God bless!
Yeah! Hello, everybody! This is Yeehaw Bob Jackson.
Neverland Podcast, we love you. Neverland Podcast, we love you. Neverland Podcast, it's true. Neverland Podcast, we love you. Yeah!
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.